First Baptist Church of Redmond, January 22, 2023, John chapter 14, Never Abandoned.
Please join me in standing and reading the scripture this morning. John 14, 18 through 19. I will not leave you as orphans. I am coming to you. After a little while, the world no longer is going to see me, but you are going to see me. Because I live, you also will live. You may be seated.
The sermon title is Never Abandon. A lot of people think about fitness, and in the United States, it's called the quote-unquote Great Fitness Scam. I got this off a web page recently. The United States leads the world in spending for health and fitness, but still ranks lowest in measurements of actual health. Americans spent $264.6 billion in physical activity in 2018. That's the most recent records I could find. Far more than any other nation, the United States leads the world in spending for every segment, including fitness classes, $37 billion, sports and recreation, $58 billion, apparel and footwear, $117 billion, and equipment and supplies, $37.8 billion. Mindful movement such as yoga, $10 billion, and related technology, $8.1 billion. Wow. And yet, according to the academic journal, The Lancet, for all this spending, we rank 143rd globally for actual participation in physical activities. More than 40% of Americans fail to meet the global standard of 150 minutes a week for moderate physical activity, or 75 minutes a week of intense physical activity. Wow. That teaches us that faith without works is dead. Intellectual knowledge about Jesus without actually trusting and obeying him is not true discipleship. Verse 18 of our passage, I will not leave you as orphans. I am coming to you. What Jesus means is this: my departure will not be like that of a father whose children are left as orphans when he dies. In the spirit, I am myself coming back to you. We've already introduced the topic of the Holy Spirit in John 14, 15, 16, and 17. The Spirit reveals the Christ, glorifies him, applies his merits to the hearts of believers, makes his teaching effective in their lives. And when the Spirit is poured out, Christ truly returns. I like the Holy Spirit pictures as a cake, because you can see the cloven tongues of fire on the day of Pentecost. Ha-ha. Here in verse 18, the reference is not primarily to the second coming, but to the return of the Christ in the Spirit in the day of Pentecost. We are speaking about the church's birthday. Why? For the following reasons. The immediately preceding context refers to the outpouring of the Holy Spirit at the day of Pentecost. So does the immediate following context. only can it be explained that the disciples and we ourselves are not left as orphans. In the Spirit poured out at the day of Pentecost, he chooses as his abode the church only. At the consummation of the age, however, Jesus will come to the church as the world, as well as to the church. One of the results of the coming referred to in verse 18 is the disciples will know that, quote unquote, I am in the Father, and you in me, and I in you. The knowledge of the believer's union with Christ will be a lasting fruit of the day of Pentecost, the coming of the Holy Spirit, and the subsequent birth of the church. After a little while, the world no longer is going to see me, but you are going to see me, because as I live, you also will live, because you live in me. A little while, he a little more is shrinking more and more. It is now no longer a half a year or even a few days. It is now the night between Thursday and Friday nights. On Friday, Jesus will die on the cross. Jesus himself in verse 24 refers to those who do not love him. It could mean that they are no longer even to see him, not even physically will be they be able to observe him. In the Spirit, the disciples and others will indeed observe Jesus through the other helper. From Pentecost on, he will bring Christ's teachings concerning himself home to the hearts of these men and their followers. What the Lord from heaven is doing on the earth day by day will pass the review once more before their very eyes. The disciples will be able to see or observe Jesus, for they will be alive. They will live because Christ lives. He, being in his own person the way and the truth and the life, is ever the cause of their very own spiritual life. Yes, forever he is unchangeable, but as far as they are concerned, this life will blossom most abundantly on and after the day of Pentecost. On that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I in you. In the New Dispensation, the church age, beginning with the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, the disciples and those who afterward embrace the Christ by living faith will recognize and joyfully acknowledge the closeness of the relationship between the Father and the Son. They then will also understand that this union is in turn the pattern for the relationship between Christ and his followers. Now, to be sure, these two relationships are not identical. Between the Father and the Son, there is basically a unity of essence. On the other hand, between the Son and the believers, there is an ethical and spiritual unity. We love him because he first loved us. The unity is capable of growth. Christ, by means of the Spirit, actually lives in the hearts of believers. So close is the relationship between Christ and the believers that, while he is the vine, they are the vine branches. He is the shepherd. They are the sheep. They are the members of his body, which he is the head. One of the most striking passages in this connection is certainly Revelation 3:21. To him that will overcome, I grant to sit with me on my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father on his throne. It shows not only the closeness and tenderness of the relationship between Christ and believers, but also indicates, as does the passage we are studying, 14:20, that this relationship is a reflection of the everlasting union between the Father and the Son. The one who has my commandments and keeps them is the one who loves me, and the one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and reveal myself to him. The one who has my commandments and keeps them is the one who loves me, is the proof of genuine discipleship. But why does Jesus have been spoken about the dispensation of the Spirit in verses 16 through 20, return to the thought of verse 15, the keeping of his commandments? Probably because apart from the Holy Spirit, let me say it again, apart from the Holy Spirit, the keeping of his commandments is not possible. Know that the mere possession of these commandments is not enough. It's not enough to know. One must have and keep them. One must have the commandments, be aware of them, and keep or obey the commandments. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and reveal myself to him. Does not the Father's love precede ours? Is it not true that in 1 John 4:19, we love because he first loved us. But why cannot God's love both precede and follow ours? That is exactly what it does, and that is the beauty of it. First, it precedes our love. It creates in us the eager desire to keep Christ's commandments. Then, by following our love, it rewards us for keeping them. Similarly, Jesus here, having mentioned the love of the Father, immediately adds, and I will love him. This intelligent and purposeful love is made manifest by the Holy Spirit. The expression, and will reveal myself to him, takes on reality in the lives of believers again and again. We can say, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, from 2 Timothy. This display of Christ to the believer is ever in the Spirit and through the Word. For us, verses 18 through 21 teach that the other helper, I will myself return spiritually to you, to all those who love me, not to the world. The world cannot even see me yet or even know me truly. Are you familiar with the story of the very hungry caterpillar? Okay. British host Sam Darlson found a fuzzy surprise when he opened a bag of broccoli from his local grocery store. He discovered a caterpillar. That's his picture. and the picture of the broccoli. But instead of evicting his new furry friend, he decided to take care of it. It turned out being an ad hoc caterpillar caretaker was just the hobby he needed to pass his time in lockdown in his London apartment. It was recent. He told a reporter, "I did my research initially and discovered the exact type of caterpillar butterfly that we were dealing with. And then I decided to build him a little home in my living room with all the broccoli he wanted to eat." Darlston named his caterpillar Cedric. And if you search on Cedric the Caterpillar, you'll have results like this on Google. He was planning on maintaining a habitat for one until another trip to the same store for more broccoli needed more caterpillars. He said the broccoli I got as replacement broccoli contained 5 more caterpillars. And then a third broccoli belonging to my housemate has another one. So I became from expanding from one caterpillar to ultimately 7 caterpillars overnight. Over a series of tweets, Darlston conveyed to his audience how each of them became eventually a chrysalis and formed cocoons, only to eventually become butterflies and fly away. That's the type of butterfly they grew up to. He says, quote, "I felt a tiny bit sad watching them spread their wings, but overall the feeling was of happiness. I'm just happy at least one of us gets to go out during these times of the pandemic lockdown. No matter how we've arrived or what condition we've in, God loves us and receives us into his family by the Holy Spirit that dwells in us. Not only that, but God will continue the work he started in your life, even when others have abandoned you."